Hello. Everybody should get some food. Oh, it's food. Wait just a minute for everybody to sit down. Welcome everyone to the South Region public hearing for the Comprehensive Watershed Management Plan of the Pomeroy River Association. I've met almost all of you, and those I haven't met probably read about me in the newspaper a couple weeks ago. We didn't do either of those things. My name is Michaela Leahy. I'm the new coordinator for the Pomeroy River Association. I started here in the end of October, so I've been here just over 4 months. So I will be leading off this presentation with the caveat that if you have questions, there's probably someone in the room who's much more qualified to answer. But with that, I'll go into my presentation. So if you don't know anything about the Pomeroy River Association, we are a watershed-based, grant-funded, non-taxing partnership. That's important to a lot of people. Our partnership among 6 counties that fall within the Pomeroy watershed, and that's Big Stone, Douglas, Grant, Stevens, Swift, and West Otterdale counties. So it's a partnership between the counties and the stormwater conservation districts. We're governed by the Joint Powers Board and guided, I guess is the best word I could find, by a technical advisory committee. And those entities, those groups are made up of, for the JPB, it's made up of one SWCD supervisor and one county commissioner from each of those member counties. And the TAC is made up of one SWCD employee and one county employee from each of those entities. Just a quick overview of the watershed. It encompasses 875 square miles. There are 751.3 miles of river or stream within the watershed. The Pomeroy River itself is 105 miles long. Within the watershed, we have 69% cropland, 9% open water. Just for a snapshot of some land use. There's 9 cities or towns encompassed within the watershed, at least partially or fully. And the watershed has an overall population of about 15,232. As far as the breakdown of the watershed across each county, Stevens had 39% of the watershed. Otterdale County had 23%. 18% of the watershed is in Grant County. 13% is in Swift County. 4% in Douglas, and 3% in Fixedone County. Frontier River Association does a lot of cost share funding for various water quality projects. Some of those include rain gardens. We do water and sediment control basins. You can see one there is empty and then full of water. We've done some stream bank restorations. We did the removal of the Driver Creek Dam to that project and restored the stream around that. We've also spent a lot of time and effort on doing wetland restorations, filter strips, some cattle exclusions of, you know, if there's pasture up next to the river, you can put some money towards fencing to keep the cattle off. And we've done a lot of other things. That's a good snapshot of what we work on. So the reason we're here tonight is for this comprehensive watershed management plan. Well, why do we even have a comprehensive watershed management plan? Why do we need that? It came about because of this program under the Board of Water and Soil Resources called One Watershed, One Plan. Our point is to develop, I'll read this, this is Bowser's wording, develop prioritized, targeted, and measurable local implementation plans aligned with state strategies on major watershed boundaries. That's a lot of language. The bottom line is that this is replacing, slowly, it's replacing your local county watershed plans, your water plans. County plans were not based on watershed, they were based on political county boundaries. Watersheds don't follow those boundaries, naturally, so the plan going forward is to work based on watershed boundaries and to collaborate for all the counties and entities within those watersheds to collaborate and to follow one watershed management plan. So, we have written up this comprehensive watershed management plan. I say we loosely, I've been here 4 months. This plan has been a multi-year collaboration between a lot of people, and my input so far has been pretty minimal. So there's a lot of other people who put in the hard work for this. I don't know if you can read that up there. I don't know if you can read it on your handout. It's pretty small. But just an idea of the goals and responsibilities of the people that are involved with this. First up, we've got the Pontotoc River Association Joint Powers Board. That's your commissioners and SWCD supervisors. Their primary functions were to, they're going to adopt the plan. Once it's complete, they're going to be in charge of the implementation. And just approving any sort of work or funding agreements or reports that are required under this one watershed one plan according to the Bowser policies. The Pontotoc River Association staff, I guess that's me. I do all a bunch of the work plan prep, I prepare all the fiscal reports, do a lot of the grant reporting, and just general administrative work required by any of these grants. Technical Advisory Committee, who is mostly here tonight, they really provide the on-the-ground expertise and the knowledge of how to implement the practices and the ideas that are in the plan, how best to get them on the ground to see measurable results. And then the role of our individual county boards and SWCDs is to make sure we approve the plan before we submit it to Bowser, and to adopt and implement the plan locally. That is also pretty small, so I'll read it based on what I think it says. The first thing in the plan was to prioritize some areas that the board and the TAC identified as being where we want to focus the money that comes from the grant that we'll get. So in the north region, we're looking at the northern lakes area, which is the start of the watershed in north and south Turtle Lakes. In the pink on the right there, we have Christina and Pelican Lakes area. The orange in the middle is the Pommatier Lake Chain area on the main stem of the river. And in the south, our priority areas included the Pommatier River corridor, where you're getting to Morris and then on down to Appleton, and the Drywood Creek area. Now I will invite some West Ottertail folks up to talk about the Northern Lakes area.
Good evening. Kyle Lindsay, I'm the county representative for Ottertail. Brad Mergens is the soil and water representative for Ottertail. Just a little quick overview of the perimeter of our Northern Lakes. We kind of start, we include the Dalton area, the goal of our west is Underwood, the headwaters being just north of North Turtle Lake. We do have three main lakes that are of concern in the northern area, would be North Turtle, South Turtle, and Stocker. We do have some impairments in some of those lakes. North Turtle, Phosphorus, South Turtle for aquatic, or bullheads, if anybody cares about bullheads. And Stocker Lake, I don't know if there's any impairments in that, but I don't recall. Chat a little bit about something here. Thanks, Kyle. Maybe I'll just spend a minute or two talking about North Turtle Lake. Really, as a technical person working with landowners in Ottertail County, this is where our focus is. Our first focus is going to be because North Turtle Lake, just north of and east of the city of Underwood, is impaired for phosphorus. So we're going to work in the lake shed. We're going to work with farmers, landowners. We're going to have individual lakeshore meetings and work on BMPs throughout the lake shed and try to bring those two groups, landowners and lakeshore owners, together, some of the funding that's going to become available in the watershed to try to address our impairments. So, just a little more about the watershed. Kyle talked about, we're obviously lake dominated. Tourism is a big part of what we do. A lot of our strategies are going to be to try to maintain, our high quality lakes, within the watershed, and find that balance with agriculture and tourism and working, again with landowners throughout the watershed. So, we start just north of the city of Underwood. The Pommatier works its way south, and headed into 10 Mile Lake and most of you know where that is, by the interstate, and then crosses down into Grant County. So, any questions regarding the northern portion of the watershed? Okay, Kayla, do you want Grant County next, or?
Yep.
Douglas, Grant?
Christina Pelican Lake area.
Christina Pelican Lake area.
Hello everyone, I'm Andy Rice. I'm a district technician for Douglas Soil and Water. I'm going to go over the Christina Pelican Lakes area, which covers parts of Ottersdale, France, and Douglas County. Looking at that area, it's about 56,000 acres. But of that, about a quarter of it is water. Actually, a little bit more than a quarter of it is water. So, keeping those lakes clean, keeping those wetlands clean is a priority. Very much like what we have in the Northern Region, we have some similar priorities. Looking at the map there, you have Eagle Lake and Spitzer Lake to the north. They are both lakes of high water quality. Currently, we would like to maintain that and improve on that if possible. Those lakes have high biological diversity with the plant and animal communities within the lakes. You look to the south a little bit, you have Lake Christina. With that, that is a poor quality lake. It is impaired for nutrients, which affects recreation on that lake. And that lake is a huge lake for waterfowl. It's a staging area for migratory birds, especially canvasbacks. Looking to the south of there, you have Pelican Lake. Christina flows directly into Pelican. So the water quality in Christina can affect the water quality in Pelican, which Pelican currently is a high quality lake, and we'd like to keep it that way. There's a lot of shoreline owners on that lake, and it's a highly recreational lake. So just looking at the priorities, you have poor quality lakes, like I said, Lake Christina. We're trying to reduce the phosphorus load from that direct drainage. By doing that, our plan there would be to hold some meetings to identify inland management plans. We're looking at inspecting subsurface sewage treatment systems, update non-compliant septic systems, conduct shoreline condition inventories, implement some shoreline restoration projects, and implement some structural and non-structural BMPs. Basically the same thing for the high quality lakes, which would include Eagle Lake, Spitzer Lake, Pelican Lake. You get down into shoreland owner education. We're focusing on new educator, sending out educational materials to new landowners, but also to existing landowners to show them what the rules and regulations are with those shoreland. And then you get down into protect and restore perennial vegetation and shallow basins. We're trying to protect those wetlands that are out there, also restore wetlands where we can. This is going to help improve water quality. It's also going to reduce flooding impacts downstream. We also want to focus on the perennial vegetation that's out there. We don't want to see much of those areas that are in grass go away in that area. This area has lighter soils, sandier soils, and it's fairly hilly topography. It's a little different from the southern part of the watershed. That's what I have for this area. Does anybody have any questions?
Yeah,
Turn it over to Grant County.
Hi, I'm Joe Montani, the district manager of Grant Stormwater. Greg Lowell, the county office of land management, county representative. See, that's right, map up there. Okay, so as we move down the watershed, this gets to be a little more of a transitional area with land use, but we still have a fair number of recreational lakes. Unfortunately, some of those recreational lakes, like Pontiere, Barrett, and Perkins, which is in Stevens County, are poor quality lakes. So we need to reduce, we're reducing phosphorus in Perkins by 270 pounds per year. That's going to be the goal. 98 pounds per year in Barrett and 142 pounds per year in Pontiere Lake. You know, the ways to do that is going to be a lot of the things that we do with implementing structural practices like water sediment control basins. A lot of this land use in this area is agriculture. It's more intensely ag production than the land up in Ottertail and Douglas. And things like filter strips, wetland restorations, things like that. And then, Greg, do you want to talk about some of the septics and the shoreline stones?
Okay, so Joe had mentioned that as we move down the watershed, and you can see the impaired lakes probably outnumber the lakes that aren't impaired. So one of the roles the Land Management Office is going to have is to work on doing septic inspections, trying to make sure we don't increase our phosphorus loading to those lakes. Most of the lakes that we do have that are impaired in this part of the watershed are, for the most part, fully developed. Not to say that there isn't more land that could be developed, but it's typically already in federal wildlife production areas, things like that. So the areas that aren't left for development have been permanently protected already. So we don't have a whole lot of new development going on, but just redevelopment. So what we're trying to do is, rather than worry about the new subdivisions, is to try to educate the landowners who currently live there by what I try to do is attend all the annual Lakeshore property owner meetings and educate them about the rules and regulations. So as you can see that in this part of the watershed, lakeshore education and septics are probably going to be one of the priorities that at least Grant County is going to be working on. So I don't know if there's anything else that sticks out, Joe. Can you think of anything?
I think one of the things we're also going to look at is some of the shoreline development and shoreline erosion problems, doing some assessment of that and working with those landowners to correct those problems as well. I think the other, I talked a little bit about structural DMPs, but I think another way to achieve our goals here is going to be some of those non-structural things that we maybe throw into the category, broad category of soil health kinds of practices. Things like relatively simple things like crop rotation, cover crops, reducing tillage, things like that. We do have one lake in that area that is a protection lake, and that's Elk Lake. It's a relatively small watershed, and we're going to work with, it's a small number of landowners that we have to work with to reduce phosphorus to keep that lake in good quality. I probably mentioned the other thing is in that area we have the drinking water supply area for the city of Barrett. That's where we're going to try to address some drinking water issues. We had quite a discussion about that today at a meeting earlier today. When the Department of Health works with the city to do a wellhead protection plan, and the city of Barrett just redid their plan, but their drinking water supply management area became a lot smaller than it previously was. So we're working with a much smaller area now. So some of our goals that you'll see in the current draft of the plan are going to be reduced because of the size of the area was reduced that we're working in. So, I think that's all we have. Any questions for that part of the role?
Sure, Ron.
I knew you'd have a question for me.
Nobody else but me.
I'm Staples, Stevens County. So on one of the priorities for implementation activities is convert cropland to perennial vegetation. Is there a plan to accomplish that, or is there a goal of how much in the 10 years?
Yeah, I think Washington-wide we're looking at, 20,000 acres, but a lot of that run is maintaining the existing CRP we have. So those CRP contracts, you know, 10 to 15 years, we're going to try to maintain what we have out there.
So maybe a seizure option you're referencing, maybe it's under the drinking water protection?
Yes.
Right. So that got changed today.
Yeah. We're not going to be able to do that because we don't have that many acres in there.
So there is really no opportunity for cropland to be converted because there is none in the wildlife protection area. Where before it was the north side of Barrett Lake that was in cropland.
So it's just in the wellhead protection area? That
correct, yeah.
That this is
I think that's what that was referencing, Joe, this cropland.
Oh, yeah. I think
it's got it on the next one, too.
Yeah, it's...
That's for Morris. That's for Morris.
Morris, Barrett, Morris, and Appleton.
Gotcha.
And Barrett wellhead protection area was probably three times as large previously as it is today. So it encompassed a lot of ag land. Well, that got pared back. I think we have 50 acres now of ag land within that whole drinking land. So we're not moving 500 acres. I thought you were talking about some of the other stuff from the watershed wide.
Well, is that a goal watershed wide? I mean,
we have some goals in watershed.
This is in the wellhead protection area.
This one here is just the wellhead protection area. We're not going to be doing that. But we do have some goals for watershed wide perennial vegetation, which is what I was referencing about the CRP.
Right, and that was my question too, is there, what are the goals there? This stuff, I can't read all of it.
Well, me either.
I don't even know if it's in here. Talks about BMPs and stuff.
Go way to the back, maybe. Is it in the handouts?
Page 5.
You're going to be going over to alter hydrology.
Okay. It's an altered hydrology, reducing a runoff, that one?
Yeah.
3.2.1?
Yep.
But we're not going to the watershed wide stuff just yet,
right?
No.
So. Any more questions?
We can wait on that.
Yeah. Okay. We'll get to it. Matt?
Yeah. Bill?
For those of you that don't know me, my name is Matt Solopsas. I'm the district administrator here in Stevens. Bill Feindel's Environmental Services. We have in that last slide. Yeah. Basically, all we have in this priority area is Perkins Lake, and I think Joe kind of touched on that. It's the only major recreational lake we have in the county. We've been just addressing some things. I mean, it's impaired for phosphorus. We've been doing some shoreline restorations. I think there's probably just a hair more than a dozen actual developed shoreline properties on this lake, and we've already done three of them. So that's kind of one thing we're doing to address. And then just some of the other basic stuff, you know, the structural cracks in the watershed. It's a definite difference in our area, whereas Brad and those guys talked about, we're primarily farm ground cultivated land. Bill, do you have anything with the lake stuff?
Not so much, except Perkins Lake is the most developed recreation lake in Stevens County. That's where you see most of the development. A lot of non-conforming size lots on the south end of the lake. For the most part, all of the systems, septic systems, were put in at one time compliant, but there's some older systems out there that may be failing out in the groundwater separation. But there has been several upgrades on the south end of the lake over the last 4 or 5 years, which is really low in that end and somewhat susceptible to flooding when we get a large rainfall event. So we'll be looking at implementing similar practices that were explained earlier as far as looking at septic system inspections, updating of those systems, sending information to the lakeshore property owners, indicating what the guidelines are for septic systems and building. The unique situation with Perkins Lake is Stevens County has countywide zoning, but two of the townships in the county have their own zoning ordinance, one of which is Hodges Township, which is southeast of Morris here, and the other one is Swan Lake Township, in which Perkins Lake falls in. So they mainly have the zoning authority for permitting around Perkins Lake. The county still deals with the septic systems in those situations. So other than that, I guess the only thing as far as the wildlife protection area in Morris, it's listed as high vulnerable areas. You get a more gravel texture type of soil. The wells are relatively shallow, anywhere from 60 to 80 some feet deep, I believe. So most of that land around it, during that wildlife protection area, is surrounded by University of Minnesota Morris land, which is a lot of pasture land. And there is some community development out there as well.
Yeah, so in this priority area, Morris obviously is the main center, and we're working on doing some urban stormwater things. We've been doing a lot of that in the past with the rain gardens. Going to continue to do some of that. You know, there's obvious, you know, urban and rural folks have equal stake in all these impairments, so we've been pushing that. Otherwise, like Bill said, a lot of the same stuff with the buffers, some of the other practices that we can do on the ag land. Yeah, and this kind of goes into Swift County as well. Andy, if you have anything for this slide?
Yeah, so Andy Hilbertson, I'm with the Swift County Soil and Water Conservation District, and we have the southern part of the watershed. This is where everything that goes on in Stevens County and Grant County and West Iredale, everything ends up flowing down through Swift County, so we kind of get to deal with all the work that is done in those counties to the north of that. And an interesting thing, and what we kind of were discussing, is throughout the Pontotier watershed, there's a big change that goes on from the north to the south. So if you start up in the north, you could probably take a big step and cross the Pontotier River. Down south by Appleton, you need to take a rope and swing across like Georgia the Jungle, basically. So it's quite a bit wider. And if you were to take a mason jar and dip it in West Iredale County to see what the water looks like there, it's probably fairly crystal clear. If you took that same mason jar and dumped it in the Pontotier by Appleton, it's not going to be quite as clear. So there's a few different challenges that we have to deal with in Swift County than what some of those counties further up north get to deal with. And as you can see, too, the watershed size gets a lot more narrow down there, too. And an interesting thing is for anyone who's driven along Swift County down along the Pontotier River there, when you're driving along, you dip down into the Pontotier River Valley. So there is a little bit of topography in Swift County, if you can believe it. And where that topography is, there are several locations where there is gully erosion occurring, and there's significant sediment that is washing down there. So that's going to be one of our priority areas, is working with those landowners trying to address those gully erosion issues. Now I'm going to toss over to Big Stone folks.
Okay, this is the Drywood Creek priority area. Did either any of you guys have anything to say first about Drywood Creek before this comes? Okay, sounds good. So for Big Stone County itself, one of the
biggest priorities we had was Artichoke Lake. As you can see, it's a poor quality lake. It has quite a bit of phosphorus in it. It has a lot of algal blooms, things like that. It actually does summer kill too, we found out. So a lot of things on here. We're going to be looking into Artichoke Lake itself and Dragwood Creek coming out of Artichoke Lake, which is actually impaired by the MPCA. Some of the things that we'll be doing are creating a lake management plan for Artichoke, doing some sewage treatment systems, upgrading any of the old ones if they come out of compliance. And also doing some shoreline restoration and some inventory to kind of see where we can put those projects within Artichoke Lake. It's also the top of the watershed, is kind of why, or of its sub-watershed, that's kind of why we also picked Dragon Creek, is if we can work on stuff at the top, it'll hopefully improve things as we're going down there. That's... If you guys can read anything else, we're working on phosphorus reduction of 209 pounds a year and a sediment reduction of 1,029 tons a year into Dragwood Creek. I'll also be doing some stream habitat projects, trying to improve that for aquatic life and aquatic recreation. That's all I got for Dragwood Creek. You guys got any questions on that part? No? Okay. Then we will move over to the watershed-wide stuff. Watershed-wide priorities is what we thought were, or what we think is important throughout the whole watershed, and we don't feel comfortable putting it only in the priority areas or multiple priority areas. Had these as priorities. We wanted to just cover it all watershed wide. Or some of them are also a high priority, but we view them as a high priority. We can't pin it to a certain area, but it may become a higher priority later on, so we want to make sure we cover that in this plan. So if it does rise to become a higher priority in the priority area, we can address it through this part of the plan. A lot of this stuff is also outreach and education, because water is the science of water. It's always changing. There's a lot of things that can be improved on, a lot of things people don't keep up with, and can realize there's a lot of different BMPs, different things we can do. And we feel like knowledge is lacking, and we want to address that and get the word out there, things that we can do to improve water quality within the watershed. I think other than that, that's my broad brush on watershed wide stuff. Sounds like we're gonna have questions on watershed wide stuff. So I will open it up to you guys to ask the group on some watershed wide priorities.
Okay. Anybody have any questions about any part of the plan?
Yes. Hi, Tracy Anderson, I'm working for aquatic biology at UNM. And I noticed, well, we've now got zebra mussels in the pond here. And so I'm wondering if you guys could talk a little bit more about the invasive species concerns and any efforts that might be directed toward that.
Yes. I think that's somewhere in...
I came in late, so I apologize.
Yeah, so the bottom of this slide here is one of our watershed-wide priorities. So some of the things we're going to try to do to work towards, preventing or containing as much as we can the spread of any aquatic invasives. Most of the county have a plan that addresses AIS, a way to combat AIS within the county. So what the Pond of Terror can do basically is just work with the county to implement their plan. We can do some annual outreach work, do some workshops with each county just to do some education. We can work with DNR just to keep up to date on how they're working against AIS. And then also we're going to work with local law enforcement to do both our watercraft inspections. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I was just curious. Are there anything besides deeper muscles seem to be pressing?
Sorry, stone warrant? Where is that at?
Douglas County.
So. Not Douglas, they found something in Polk County in Minnewaska.
Yeah.
And I think they've also found something over in Stearns County. That's one that I know they're doing treatments on those areas. We're hoping it doesn't.
Right. And that's where we do the soil and water does the AIS program in the county, and that money is funneled to us from the county. It's such a small amount that we can't afford to just pay somebody to sit out there at the landing and do both things. And basically, do a lot of education and outreach things, but other than that, our hands are kind of tied. And we're, I think, getting $19,000 or $15,000 a year, and we can't pay an intern to sit there. So, stopping it, that's another question, I guess. We can figure out how we can stop it. I don't know. And you got the river system that runs through it. So even if you got the landing, if you purchased late, you still have folks putting boats in 2, 3, 4 miles north in the river, and stuff gets in there. You know, I don't know how you're going to stop it, I guess.
No, I was not at all
inclined
to actually.
Yeah, right, yeah. What our program was, yeah.
I was just curious what's not going in.
Yep.
So Otter County has a pretty robust AIS program. Every year we have at least 25 inspectors at the city home inspectors. And we do have a dedicated deputy sheriff for enforcement. So, and we do have a full-time AIS person in the county. The headwaters, that's fairly important. But like Matt said, we're not stopping. We're just trying to keep the analytics and public outreach to make market. We have eyelids and a lot of, an eyelid is basically a camera that recognizes the person there and shows you a video. So we have that in a lot of our accesses. You know, so there's that type of public outreach every time you make sure you're one of those.
Good question. Thank you. Anybody else have a question or comment? Well, if you didn't get enough food, please go have some. I'm sure the folks on the other side will let us take a doggy bag home. Otherwise, thank you guys for coming. If any of you didn't sign in, I think the sign-in sheet is at the table at the front door. Please do that so we can have record that you were here. What's that, Brad?
If anyone here has neighbors or anyone that you know of that could make the meeting tonight, we are having another one, adult at the community center on
10, 5 o'clock. Thank you again.
Every year.